This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I've always been confident in those guys. I mean, I see the work that they put in. I see the talent that they have. Obviously we have these great talents with Travis and Tyreek that are all-time talents, and so we get them the ball and let them make plays. But we got guys all across the board that can make plays on this team. And you saw it with plays like Pringle made, plays like E-Rob made, and then you've seen the plays that McColl's made all season long or in the last few seasons. So we have talent everywhere. It's about getting them the ball in space and letting them go.
Here's C-Dot.
That was very odd. You're listening to The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very happy to be joined in studio by Jay Binkley here. Binkley, I will give you this. There has been not a single person who has been banging the drum more for Byron Pringle to get more opportunities and to see the football than you have. I gave the stat off of the top. McColl Hardman has been throwing the ball 11 times this year. He has 74 yards. Byron Pringle has been throwing the ball four times and has 69 yards to show for it. You don't got to be great at math to realize the big discrepancy between those two. Why do you think that the Chiefs are so hesitant to give Byron Pringle more of an opportunity?
I don't know. I think they're just still trying to give that to McColl Hardman, his place, where he was drafted. Byron Pringle, undrafted out of Kansas State. But Byron Pringle's getting that circle of trust. I thought he was in there last year, but was hurting that Raiders game. You know, they do trust him, though. He was the first receiver to catch a pass in the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. But I don't know. He makes the most out of what he has, and he's great yards after catch as well. Of course, that's the return guy in him. It's Byron Pringle, the returner, when he's got that ball in his hand as a wide receiver. So I like what Byron Pringle's doing last year. You look, he had 13 catches, already three this year. So it's almost 25% of the production from last year. It's not a lot, but I think Byron Pringle can be a serviceable guy? I do.
Yeah, there's this line in 40-Year-Old Virgin where he tells Steve Carell's character to try some wrong, dog, that they are at the point where they don't have an answer to who their number two receiver is. It's just not on their roster. As much as they want McColl Hardman to maybe assume that role and be that number two, he's just not your traditional two, and he's probably more of a three. DeMarcus Robinson, not a second receiver, probably more of a three or a four. The one guy that they haven't really given the opportunity to has been Pringle. They've never really given him the targets. He had 23 targets the first 2 years of his career, and now they've only thrown it to him four times this year. I would be curious to see in a game if they gave Byron Pringle eight targets, what that eight targets would look like, because based on the very limited sample size that we've seen, you'd have to guess that he would be productive. Maybe they're thinking it's like if you have a really productive pinch hitter that's hitting 310, but he only has 150 ABs, and then they're worried about giving him 400 or 500 ABs because they think that average is going to dip. But at some point, you got to give the player those ABs. At some point, you got to give them those opportunities. I do want to see if this team is maybe committed to wide receiver number two by committee, because right now it doesn't seem like that. They've decided who their number two wide receiver is. It's McColl Hardman.
I think right now, honestly, I think everything's on the table for Coach Reed. I do. I think it's going to be, you're going to notice a lot of things, I think, with this football team, week three, week four. I'm not so worried about that loss, that one-point loss in Baltimore, like a lot of people are. Sky's falling. Yeah, there's a lot of issues this team has, especially defensively and stopping the run. But I think it's open competition, and I think that's going to go down to Clyde as well. I think that Andy Reid, everything's on the table. He realizes it's an opportunity. In the NFL, that window, it closes at times. The Patriots had that window closed, and they opened it back up. So the Kansas City Chiefs still riding on that window being open for the most part. I don't think he's married to his roster right now. It was Pringle that kind of started stepping up when Watkins got hurt last year. Then, of course, Pringle got hurt as well. But everything was on the table for Hardman and Robinson to go out and seize that. And they didn't do it. And the only receiver that kind of impressed me just as much as any of them was Byron Pringle. As far as toughness, the all-around wide receiver, I think it's Pringle over those guys.
Right now we're talking to Jay Binkley in studio. If you got some questions, 913-576-7610. We'll get to those questions coming up in just a bit. Mahomes also said that he looked at the run game and he felt like they were about to turn the corner. I know people are down on Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now. He's better than averaging 3.3 yards per carry. He's been one of the least productive running backs so far in the league. I do think they're on the verge of turning the corner because I don't really know if you could run the ball less effectively than they ran the ball so far this season. I'm also not sure really what the ceiling is and what the high and what we think this run game can be at this point.
Well, 67 yards a game just won't cut it. That's what they're at now through the first 2 weeks. And, of course, you know, Patrick helps that average when he goes out 25-30, but you don't want your quarterback having to do that. I think Clyde will turn the corner. He's got to at some point. I mean, he's got to showcase what he can do. This is a great opportunity to do it. I know oftentimes if you look at things on paper, the Chiefs are supposed to destroy the Baltimore Ravens as well. If you look on paper, we know the Chargers can't stop the run either. This is a part of their defense. They've really struggled.
It's actually the two worst run defenses in the league.
Yeah, they give 198.
Two of the three, because Seattle's second because Derrick Henry ran all over them.
Their run D right now is 30th in the NFL. The Chiefs said they give up 162 yards a game. That's almost 100 yards a game more than what the Chiefs average rushing. Something's got to give, but of course the Chargers feel they can probably – they're not running the ball really that well either. 23rd in the NFL running the football. It's both teams looking at opportunities in something. When you see this on paper, when you see lopsided stuff, it's not the way it works out.
I thought their D-line was going to be better than we've seen so far this season. I didn't think their D-line was going to be elite. I didn't think they really had a lot of elite pieces on their defensive line. But when you look at the depth, when you look at the names, you look at the quality of players, I thought they were going to get more from their D-line than they've got so far. The biggest problem, so to speak, with the Chiefs the first two games of the season has been they've got beat up on the line of scrimmage both times. Cleveland beat them up on the line of scrimmage. Big reason why that game was close. Baltimore certainly beat them up on the line of scrimmage. Their D-line has been the biggest disappointment to me so far.
No, I agree with you. The one thing about the Chargers, their scoring defense is good. I mean, despite the fact that all the yards they give up, yards allowed, they're 13th, so they're still top half at the NFL. But they give up 18 points a game. The problem for the Chargers, they only score 18 points a game too, 18 and a half. So they're scoring offense, and they're the worst team in the red zone. And that's been the Chiefs' biggest deficiency when teams get in the red zone. The 8 touchdowns they've given up so far. Chargers are the worst scoring defense. Or they actually, like, they're 31. I think the Patriots are the only team behind them. But regardless, they're a bad team inside the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, the problems in the red zone to me very easily come from you lose the line of scrimmage battle. Like,
absolutely.
That's where the big guys really control the game. And I think more than anything, it's where speed is neutralized on the field. The Chiefs' speed is an advantage for 80 yards. It's once you get that last 10 to 15 where that's really where you got to win up front with your O-line, or you really got to win up front with your defensive line. And at least so far with their defensive line, they're consistently losing those battles.
No, they are. And that was the biggest shock considering how bad the Ravens line was. It looked damn good. If you saw it, the way they actually felt better at left tackle, I think. The little experience at right tackle even said that that wasn't what he's good for. When they moved him back to left, it was like, okay, that's where he feels natural as far as the step back and everything else. He actually looked good there. But, yeah, the defensive line, it's not what we saw at training camp. It's not what we saw through the first couple weeks of preseason. We see the defense sprinkled in there for a little, especially how good they did against the Cardinals, the 2-0 Cardinals. They had their starters in there, and the Chiefs were right there with them, toe for toe. They didn't get a first down until the end of the second quarter there, and the defense looked good. I can't explain what's happening with this this run game other than the missed tackles. The assignments are there. A lot of times you look, okay, is it Spags? Well, a lot of times the defense is there. They're just not making the plays. Like, Spags calling the right defense for sometimes. Obviously, it was that huge hole against the Cleveland Browns, and that was kind of a scheme thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. But the missed tackles starting to bite them.
Text line 913-576-7610. You got a question for Bink. Go ahead and text it in. We'll get to your questions coming up in just a bit. Two things I would like for you to admit. Hey, Carrington, you were right about. Just two things. I don't need a whole lot. Number one, you were right about. I was here saying something was wrong with Juan Thornhill. He was playing in the second half of preseason games. Now when everybody is back, he doesn't really get on the field. It was kind of clear to me that something's been off with Juan Thornhill and the coaching staff since the bye week last year. If you go back and look at it, he was on the field pretty consistently up until the Carolina game. They then had the bye week. They then came back against the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday Night Football, and they have not treated Juan Thornhill the same. He's really only played when they don't really have many other options. He played a lot in the final regular season game. He played a lot last week because they only have two safeties. Yep. I know Armani Watts is a safety. He is a special teams player on this team. They do not trust him to play safety. But now, once everybody was fully healthy, Sorensen's not coming off the field and Matthew's not coming on the field, and there's not really a consistent role for Juan Thornhill on this team.
No, there's not. But the one thing I wasn't worried about him running with the threes or everything else I've been training. I said, this guy's going to make the roster. Look at the safeties. Juan Thornhill will be on here. Yeah, I mean, last week it might be more of a cause to bring him on. He had, what, 4.45 speed at the combine. One thing they're missing right now is speed and sure tackling with this football team. Yeah, I don't think the book is completely closed on Juan Thornhill, though.
I don't think that it's completely closed. My frustration stems from, by year three, you should be ahead of Daniel Sorensen on the depth chart. I understand in year one, Sorensen's the veteran. You're still learning the playbook. You're trying to get up to
speed.
If
he's not 100%.
When do we think that's going to be?
I thought he was.
This is 25 games after the injury.
I thought he was. Well, Dirty Dan's got to start tackling better, or Juan Thornhill might play a little bit more.
I still don't know if Sorensen's coming off the field.
Well, maybe not, see that, because they seem to like him.
If there's one thing that this defense has been pretty consistent on, it's Neiman's not getting off the field and Sorensen's not getting off the field, which I wonder how much of it is just a trust and understanding where, hey, I know what Sorensen is, but he's dependable. I know exactly what he's going to do in these situations where I don't know what Thornhill's going to do in this situation. I know what Neiman's going to do, but I don't know about Willie Gay Jr. last year. I think whenever Willie Gay comes back, Nick Bolton's probably going to be the guy that ends up going to the bench, and then he's treated like Willie Gay. I wonder how much of their reluctance to play some of the younger players who we deem to be more talented just comes from their uncertainty, where you're not uncertain about what Neiman is at this point. You're not uncertain about what Sorensen is.
You know, but Sorensen will make that big play. He's got the sack that he had, the 4.5 now. He's got those games. You look back and say, it's Daniel Sorensen game. Remember a couple years ago in Buffalo before Josh Allen was there? It was Dirty Dan. He had the pick six. He had another interception. It was the Dirty Dan game. He comes up and makes the big play at the right time. It's what's keeping him out there with the tendency for the big play. Nick Bolton's going to be interesting on Willie Gay, because I think this team's really missing that speed of Willie Gay. Nick Bolton, I'll say this, as far as open field tackling, it doesn't get much better on this defense. The pass coverage with Nick Bolton is bad. It is not up to par right now what you want in the NFL. But as far as the tackling ability of Nick Bolton, that part I've actually been relatively pleased with.
Right now we're talking to Jay Binkley. If you got a question, go ahead and text it in. We'll get to some Binkley questions here coming up in 5 minutes or so. I want to play what Mitchell Schwartz had to say yesterday regarding Justin Herbert. I think Herbert has a chance to be a real star in this league.
It's funny, after 2 weeks, it's like, all right, Herbert's that dude. He looks awesome. I mean, look, I think it's a lot of hate being thrown at him from Chiefs fans. He almost beat us in his first start, and he didn't know he was playing until 12 seconds before he took his first play. That's pretty rare. We've seen what all these, you know, quote-unquote stud, you know, top 10 quarterbacks have done so far this year, knowing that they're playing. You know, Lawrence hasn't looked that great. Wilson hasn't looked that great. It's not like he was in a great situation with a great O-line last year and he still balled out. The team around him got better. You know, he's gotten better. Yeah, he's legit. He's really good. You know, I was thinking about it actually because he's so good. You know, you have Peyton versus Brady. You've got kind of these, you know, Pat versus Lamar, these really good rivalries, quarterbacks against each other. You know, when's the last time you've had a top, say, four quarterbacks in the NFL in the same division? Because there's a chance that, like, there's going to be 34 of these matchups throughout the years. You know, I don't know that we've really had a situation where quarterbacks play each other twice a year that are going to be this good that we hope they will be, that they're playing each other twice a year and potentially that third time in the playoffs.
That was Mitchell Schwartz. He joins us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. I think Herbert has a chance to be one of the five best quarterbacks in the league, and I don't think he's at this level yet. But if every player was available in the NFL for a draft, Mahomes would be the number one overall pick, hands down. I don't think it's crazy to say that Herbert would be the second overall pick. I don't think it's crazy to think that after Mahomes, Herbert would be second.
Youth on the side. I will say this, though, and he's not having a great year. Like, Justin Herbert's quarterback rating is 86. He's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns. Two touchdowns, three picks. I mean, his production level is actually not as good as it was last year for Justin Herbert. Not only that, the Chargers struggle the most in the red zone than any other NFL team. A lot of that comes back to the quarterback. They're averaging 18 points a game. I get it. It's two games into the season. It's way too early to make that judgment. But Teddy Bridgewater and Derek Carr are having better years than Justin Herbert.
Carr's been fantastic so far this season.
And so's Teddy.
I'm really surprised at how Teddy's playing.
You know what, though? Through the preseason, even Drew Locke, like Drew Locke had a good preseason. Teddy Bridgewater just a little bit better. Like I've been saying, I like the Chargers Broncos roster better than the Chargers. And I know schedule-wise, a little bit different with Denver at this point. But I still like the Broncos roster better than I do the Chargers. But, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, four touchdowns, no picks. You know, Herbert, two touchdowns, three picks. Not saying he's the better all-around the future is more with Justin Herbert than Teddy Bridgewater right now. It's not Justin Herbert.
I know you can only play who's in front of you and you can't control the schedule. I am curious to see what the Broncos look like when they play a team that's not in the bottom five in the league. Yeah. So far this year,
yeah, their survivor played, pick status right now.
Yeah, I mean, so far this season, they have played or they are going to play three of the worst six teams in the league. I'm not saying they're not good. I'm not saying they're not improved. They certainly looked at to be the case, but I got to see them like they're not even playing Minnesota. They're not even playing Cincinnati. Chicago, a team that I think is capable. I mean, you played the Giants, Jaguars, and Jets the first 3 weeks of the season. Stink, stank, stunk, those three teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the schedule, but you do have to play who's in front. I know last year a lot of people said that about Cleveland. Look, the schedule's not great and looking what they're going out and doing against. But they're still winning those games. They went on one playoff game for them. I do like the Broncos' defense. I think that's solid. Obviously, Chubb. Being banged up again, that's costing them because Von Miller and Chubb, they haven't really played together in 3 years. Like to see what that combination could do. I love what they've done with their defensive backfield. But, yeah, Herbert's one of those rising stars. I still like Josh Allen better than I do Justin Herbert. I like Lamar Jackson better than I do Justin Herbert as well. But I will say this, you know, Herbert this year, you know, again, he's the three picks, the fumble. They've got to figure out what they're doing because inside the red zone, like they're averaging 18 points a game. A lot of that falls on Herbert.
Do you know what time it is?
It is random question times, Carrington.
Bank.
Random no. question time!
That's why I need it! Give it to me! Text line 913-576-7610. What other team do you think Mahomes would have this type of success with outside of Kansas City? I've even got a better question than that, but go ahead and answer this one first.
I think he would do well in the system in Buffalo. I think with McDermott, that would be good. I think he'd thrive in Carolina with Matt Rhule. Obviously, Matt Rhule wasn't there when he first came to the NFL. I think John Harbaugh would do good stuff. It's Pete Carroll up in Seattle with Mahomes as well.
What's the?
I think he'd win everywhere he goes, to be honest with you. Even the Jets would be winning eight games a year.
I was going to ask, what's the worst team in the league you think Mahomes, just adding Mahomes, you'd make the playoffs? Like, Bengals. What's the worst team?
Bengals. They just keep falling over themselves. I mean, I like some of those young – I like Jamar Chase. I like some of it, though, but
– Atlanta.
He would have got off to a rough start. Atlanta, man, put him with Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Put him with Calvin Ridley, you know.
I actually think the answer is Atlanta. Rob, what do you think?
I think Atlanta's got more talented skill position players than those others.
So like right now, you take Mahomes off Kansas City. You don't add anything else. You just add him to their existing roster. What's the worst team you think Mahomes could take to the playoffs?
Atlanta's a really good answer. Washington. Washington goes to, like, I know they're in the playoffs last year, but they're like,
to the playoffs.
They're a real, real threat, like, to win the conference if they have Mahomes.
Text line 913-576-7610.
I think the Broncos, is put it that way.
I mean, the Broncos might make the playoffs with Teddy Bridgewater.
I know, but I'm just saying, if they had Mahomes, there would be much different.
Do you think having Willie Gay back in the lineup will not necessarily fix the defense, but will be a big help to the run defense?
100%. He's a good tackler. He's fast. He's probably the fastest line. Well, he is the fastest linebacker the Chiefs have. So, yeah, I think Willie Gay, obviously that would help you in production. He's been 1 year in the NFL. He said the light bulb would finally come on. That's what I was really looking forward to seeing Willie Gay this season. But yes, he will make a difference.
Text line 913-576-7610. Italian sausage or a meatball sub?
Meatball sub. 100%. I did an Italian sausage like eating competition one day, and they kind of ruined it for me. We're just throwing those things in. Bap, 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 bap. So no, I can't go that. I had to go meatball.
Do it again.
Bap, 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 bap.
Bap, bap, bap. Bink, do you know how to swim?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I learned when I was 5 years old.
You said, yeah, of course. I would have guessed
that. I mean, I can't sit out there and do the backstroke and all. I can float, but I can't like do the, I can swim.
Yeah, I would have guessed
I can dog paddle and stuff. I've been in the lake plenty of times with a beer in my hand, and I'm just fine.
Okay.
That's swimming.
I judged a book by its cover because I would have said no, that you can't.
Well, of course I can't see that.
I don't know how to swim.
I started early.
I don't know how to swim. Like, not at all.
You never even thought, okay, let me go take a lesson.
I took a lesson. I took two lessons as a kid, and I felt like I got to the point where I never really wanted to learn how to swim. I just wanted to learn how. So, like, let's say that you have a diving board at your backyard pool, right? I could jump off the diving board. I am a good enough swimmer to get to the side of the pool so I don't die.
So you can duck
paddle. That's all I needed to do.
You must really freak out in flash floods, right? You see that water coming down. You're like,
I'm just in the house. No. I'm just in the house.
Like, flash floods, you should not drive through it anyway, but you have to really, really freaking out about that.
Yeah, no, I'm just staying in the house. What team are you most surprised with their start, good or bad?
I guess to some extent the Cardinals. I didn't believe in the Cardinals before the season, but starting off 2-0, if that'd be the NFC and the AFC, obviously it's the Raiders and Broncos being 2-0 at this point.
I'd probably put Arizona in that category for me too. They've just been more dominant than I had anticipated, certainly in their first game against Tennessee.
I like Kyler Murray, man. I think he's going to be making a run as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFC, if not the best. Although Rodgers looked pretty damn good the other night.
I would throw this in the conversation. Maybe last year was an anomaly for Josh Allen. I don't think a lot of people are ready to have that conversation because of how early it is, but this Josh Allen looks real similar to year one and year two Josh Allen, and not a whole lot like year three Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from it. He hasn't been the same guy as he was last season. But I will say this, Carrington. Justin Fields is starting this week. So we're going to talk about best quarterbacks in the NFC. We're going to throw Justin Fields right up there.
Do you think Andy Dalton makes another start this year?
No, I don't. It's Justin Fields' time. It's like if Alex Smith got hurt and you throw in Patrick Mahomes at that point, you really think they were going to go back to Alex at that point? No.
This does have a Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield vibe to it.
Yeah, I can see that. But I think Justin Fields is going to be the truth, man. I liked him. I like Trevor Lawrence, obviously, better than Fields. But Fields is my number two quarterback last season. I just think he does too many things. He's just a winner, man. Going back to college, the guy just won games. He even beat Trevor Lawrence once in the college football playoffs. That college football playoff game where he got hit in the ribs by Skowski, and he was 22 of 28, six touchdowns. He had as many touchdown passes as he did in completions. Like, I got no issues with Justin Fields. Not only that, you want leadership. He's the one that basically spearheaded the Big Ten playing football again last year.
That is our guy, Jay Binkley, joining us in studio. Binkley, it is always an honor and a privilege to talk football with you, my friend.
Thanks, Carrington. Thanks, Rob.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.